anybody. It's an IOU. Oh, could you imagine owing someone a massive debt that you could never pay back? Could you imagine that? Yeah? Like billions of pounds. They're so heavy that it's weighing me down and down. Oh, my tummy's just so heavy, I can't hold it anymore. It's just weighing me down. I'm going to leave it there. But even though I've let go of it, he's still weighing me down. Now, what about you owed somebody £1 billion? Or 10,000 pizzas? Or every toy in the world? Every Lego brick in the shop? That's impossible, right, isn't it? It's impossible. Now, I need a couple of volunteers. Probably Alice, can you join me? Amari and Malik and tell me your name now so I'm getting me stuff. Is it Abigail? Yeah, is that right? Come on. Right, I think I've got it right. Have we got four of you? Can you take the sticky note from me? At the minute, there's nothing on it. Pull it off. Can you take the sticky note? Can you get one on it? There's nothing wrote on your paper at the moment. I want you to take that back with you, or actually give it to somebody else to think about, and then later I'm going to ask you to bring that back. But what I want you to do with this piece of paper is think about a debt, either what someone's not repaid you for or you've not paid them for, like it could be an offence, something they've done to you, or you've never forgave them for. And then I want you to write, oh, this is, you know, about Alice. I want you to write one word on there. It might be an example. It might be that someone has taken something from you, or they've lied to you. So on these four pieces of paper, I just want the kids to bring them in one table or wherever they leave it with, they write one word on there. And then in part two, I'm going to ask you to bring them back. Now, you can have it for your own table or you can give it to someone else. Do you want to have a go with them? Go and have a think who you're going to give it to. Or you can keep it yourself. I don't mind. Off you go. Okay. It's all right if you keep it yourself, Alice. That's great. There's no catching it. It's just it. It's just we're going to do something with them later. So, off you go. Now, so if someone had owed you 10,000 pieces,
give it to Dylan then.
Brilliant. What would you do if someone completely forgave that debt? What would you do? Now, this parable, what we're looking at today, tells us about that we must forgive others their sin against us if we want our sins against God to be forgiven. Now, in our story, Jesus equates the king with the heavenly father. So he's the judge. So that's in the story, that's what it's portraying. Now, Peter comes along directly to Jesus with a personal question, and he asks him, in verse 21, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? As many as 7? This sounds really generous. But Jesus answered in verse 22, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Now, then Jesus tells a parable of the story. God's true story about forgiveness. So it's a king. He wants to settle some accounts. One of his servants owes him 10,000 talents. That's a mind-blowing amount. So in today's money, it might be about 3 million. Could you imagine owing somebody that much? And the servant, he begs him, have patience with me and I'll pay it back, in verse 26. But he can't pay it back. He never could. And you know, the king, he knows that. So the king shows him grace. Pure, undeserved kindness. Now, do we really know or understand what God's grace is? Because it's like a concept, isn't it? And it's hard to understand that word sometimes. So let's look at, I looked at a definition from the dictionary. And it says, through kindness or help of God, that is freely given by God to all humans. That's us. That's good, isn't it? That's good. But you know, in verse 27, something incredible happens. The master released him and forgave him the debt. Do you know what? There were no payment plan. Pay me 12 months at a rate of £3.50 a week. There were none of that. No interest rates. The slate was wiped clean. That's amazing grace. The servant, us, like him, he didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. The king simply chose to forgive. That's what makes God's grace so stunning. It's bigger than our mess, our failures, our debts, and our sin. It's much bigger. But then, the servant, what did he do? He went out, didn't he? And he finds someone who owes him a small amount of money. A few months' wages. It's still a real debt, though. But nothing compared to what he'd just been forgiven. Now, this servant, if you're reading the Bible, he pleads the same words. But you know the first servant, what did he do? He refused. He's like, no, no. In verse 31, something powerful happens. So when the servants saw, the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed. Did you catch that bit? The other servants saw. They watched what happened. How do we think our bitterness and refusal to show grace and forgiveness actually affects other people? Now, your family sees it. Your friends notice it. Our neighbours notice it. Now, a question here for us to think about. Have our homes or our churches ever been greatly distressed? Because we hold on to grudges. Yeah. Jesus' forgiveness sounds really lovely, but it's hard when you have something to forgive. Now in verses 32 and 33, the king responds with a heartbreaking clarity. And then he tells the parable of the story that I'm on the wrong page, sorry. He says, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And you should not have had mercy on, and you should not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you. So he didn't show him the same grace. Forgiveness is not just a nice idea, is it? Yeah? How do we show who the King, our Saviour, who he really is? Can people see God's grace in us? Or do they see us keeping a tally? Do they see us keeping a score?
What do you have to say?
Do they see us keeping a score?
Do you do that?
Yes.
Do you keep a score of when people do things wrong?
So, it's like this. I'm going to give you a picture to think about. In a Christian sense, it's God's unconditional love for us, even when we mess up. So, can you imagine, you go to your parents' house or someone's house, and they've got a brand new white carpet. Can you imagine? Pristine. And then, you spill a drink of red wine or Vimto all over it. Can you imagine that? Oh my goodness, but do you know what? The parent comes and says, and comes alongside and says, it's okay, I'll help you clean that up, and gives you a great big hug. And he says, it's okay, I still love you. And that's grace. So the king hears it then, after that, and he calls the servant back. And that's the turning point. The king is saying, you received amazing grace, so why didn't you pass that on? Now, Tom gave me a really good booklet to read from a Christian counsellor called Aaron Cerrone. And this is a quote from it, and I loved it. It was great, Tom. And it says, he quotes, forgiving others is a crucial aspect of our new life in Christ. Our new life in Christ. And he also says, we should not wait for our feelings to catch up or our need to forgive, because our feelings may never catch up. So, have you ever held a grudge, even secretly? Even hoped someone would get their just deserve? That's when we remember Jesus' words in verse 33. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Do we trust God with our own mess to forgive us? Now, grace, God's grace is so vast that we can't even scratch the surface of it. I love that idea. It's just so vast. But it's meant to be reflected, not just received. So, the servant in this story, he didn't understand. And do you know what? He sought his own payback. He was like, I'm sorting this out. I don't need God. Shut off. I can do it myself. But can people see God's grace in us? Or do they see us, watch this, keeping a score? So when we're faced with the need to forgive, we must remember that we are servants with enormous debts forgiven by the King. Now, this is God's true story. You owed more than you could ever repay. But who forgave it all? God. God forgave it all. Not because you deserved it, but because he is rich in mercy and love. And that's amazing grace. So, I've got a few questions for you to think about. Who do you need to forgive? What would it look like to stop holding that debt? Forgive like God. So God shows us how to forgive. We don't have to guess what forgiveness means. He gave us the perfect example, and that was Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us all. There's a verse in Ephesians, what says in chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Now, when we forgive others, we're doing what God does for us. But if we choose not to forgive, it shows, actually, do we actually understand God's love for us, really? But then there's an opposite side, when we say no to grace as well. So if someone comes along and says, I forgive you for what you did, but they don't want your grace, it's like refusing a present from a friend who loves us. It's okay to feel bad about what we did, but we can still say thank you and accept that kindness, can't we? And sometimes accepting others' grace is hard, because we go back and we go, oh yeah, but you did that, you did that. And we're holding on to that massive IOU with its weighing us down. God gives us grace all the time, even when we don't deserve it. And he wants us to receive grace from others too. It helps our hearts heal and remind us that we're loved. So this is the last bit for you to think about. If you're carrying that tally chart in your heart, maybe it's time to erase it. Not because people deserve it, but because that's what grace looks like. And when people see that in you, they catch a glimpse of God, that reflection. Because in God's kingdom, forgiven people forgive, and that's the power of grace.